Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you. If it's 3 p.m., top of the hour Central Time, well, we're hearing the Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. If you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, call now. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we get into the meat of the program today, I just want to say thank you to all the folks out there in Basic Gospel Nation who have stepped up to help support at this particular time. That is so encouraging to me, encouraging to our entire team.
Yeah.
So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I mean, the world needs this message now more than ever. So many people are afraid, they're fearful, they're scared, they're anxious. They need the firm foundation of truth, the firm foundation of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So thank you for partnering with us during this particular time. It is so meaningful. Second thing I wanted to talk about, and I think this is so important, and I'm going to set the table, and Andrew's going to come in and share a few things that are really on his heart and mind in light of this coronavirus. But the one thing that I want to remind people is this, and it comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians church and saying that I've received something, it's of first importance, and that's why I'm passing it on to you. And he says, this is it, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. And that is so important for us to understand and being able to think through this current global pandemic that we're all experiencing right now. So set the table, Andrew. Take it from there.
Well, you know, Bob, it really is a difficult thing to navigate. We've got a lot of Christian speakers and leaders and pastors and others out there on social media saying all kinds of things about the cause of this virus. Where does it come from? Where is it?
Well, we've lost
allowing it, or is God?
Well, Andrew, we're losing you on your end, and I just want to kind of pick up with what you're saying there. So there are a lot of different pastors, a lot of different ministry leaders who are saying some things about this coronavirus that don't line up with what the Word of God has to say. They might be saying that this virus is a punishment from God, that he has foisted this on humanity, and he's doing so to punish us because we've strayed away or whatever it might be. Well, that doesn't line up with what Paul passed on to the Corinthians, the fact that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. So the punishment for sin went upon Jesus. He took it all. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body. He stepped into our shoes, and he took our punishment for us. So this is just simply something that you know, a freakish thing in nature that has happened that is affecting all of us. So this isn't God throwing it at us to test us or to punish us or anything like that. This is just a tribulation and a trial of life. We've had these things since the dawn of man, after the fall of man. Trials and tribulations have been coming at us like waves to the shore. And how do we deal with it? Well, we have to stand on the foundation of truth that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. Andrew, are you back with us?
Well, I believe I am. You tell me, Bob.
You are back with us. We can hear you loud and clear.
All right, great. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, I love what you said. I mean, you know, we're really saying, did God do this? Did God strike us? Is God the cause of this? And it was interesting. A number of pastors from around the state were on a conference call recently, and they were trying to figure out a plan. What are we going to do about this coronavirus pandemic? And after listening just a few minutes, it was pretty obvious that they were insinuating at best that God brought the virus. They were saying, you know, one pastor quoting James 5, you need to confess your sins in order for us to get rid of this virus. Somebody else quoting 1 John 1:9, we got to confess our sins to God to get right with him. Then all this will go away. Somebody else said it was a scourge of God's discipline. And then, of course, they trotted out the 2 Chronicles chapter 7 passage. If we would just humble ourselves and seek God's face, then we would be forgiven, and then God would heal our land. And you hear this stuff time and time again. I mean, it's been brought out with Hurricane Katrina. It's been brought out with 9/11. And now it's being brought out with coronavirus. And what we need to know is the truth that'll always set us free. I mean, if we're going to be looking back at 2 Chronicles 7, we see Solomon dedicating the Jewish temple. We see 22,000 oxen killed. We see 120,000 sheep killed. This is an old covenant law-based context, and that matters. I mean, doesn't the cross of Christ make a difference? We're not sacrificing animals in our backyards. We have the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus. We don't need to seek God's face as believers. We sought him and we found him. God said, seek and you will find. And that's exactly what we did. We knocked at the door and God opened it. And not to mention, our sins are forgiven, right? Hebrews 10:14, by one offering, we've been made perfectly forgiven forever. So, nevertheless, Bob, I mean, this perspective is not uncommon. It's all over the place. And you really see it as early as the garden. I just want us to consider that. You go back to Adam and Eve, and the message that Satan brought was God is holding out on you. And if you would just do X, then God would do Y. And if you would just plug in the formula and eat the fruit and get the knowledge, then you would have a better experience because your current experience with God is not enough. And then, you know, thousands of years later, here we are saying, well, you got to jump through these hoops and do this, do X, do Y, do Z, and then God will heal our land. And I think we're going to have to leave a little room here for Satan, for the fallen world, for billions of sinners who are still in Adam, for, you know, death, disease, flawed DNA, coronavirus, natural disasters, hurricanes, people with bad motives out there that want to terrorize. And until we do that, guys, we're not getting a complete picture of how good God is. When we start putting a God stamp on everything, and I understand it. I mean, I've been talking about this a few days now with people online, and they're saying, well, God's sovereign. And so if God is sovereign, then he has to be doing this. Well, no. 2 Peter 3 says God is not wanting anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. So we have to recognize that God is bigger than we imagine. I mean, people are saying, well, maybe he's bringing people to repentance through this. Okay, so he's striking us with a poison. He's striking us with a lethal virus in order to bring us to repentance. Here's what God's word says. It says the kindness of God leads us to repentance. So it's our view of God, Bob. It's all out of whack. And when that happens and then this sort of thing in the world occurs, we get confused, bewildered, wondering what God is thinking. Look, God is not the author of coronavirus. God is the author and perfecter of our faith. Big difference.
Yeah, huge difference. And Andrew, thank you for those keen insights. And we have to go always back to truth. What is truth? And what we know is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. That's what God sent into the world. He demonstrated his love. So he's not standing outside the world and infusing bad things into the world. He's outside the world, and he sent Jesus into the world, who became one of us and bore our sins in his body. That's the good news.
Yeah.
And boy, that's what the world needs now, the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's really good stuff, guys. Thank you for getting the program underway with a very, very positive message. Well, we have plenty of open lines for you at 844-322-2742. We know a lot of you are sitting home these days, and there's no excuse for you not to pick up that telephone. And if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. Come on into the studio. You can talk with Bob and Andrew and me at 844-322-2742. And, friends, we have a very special gift for our donors this month. It's Bob Christopher's 5-message series. It's called The Jesus You Can Know, and it's designed to help you know him in a very, very personal way. As we pointed out, he didn't come just to forgive our sins and get you into heaven. No, he offers you an abundant life in the here and now. And here at Basic Gospel, we want you not only to know about him, but to actually experience his life in you every day. We want to send you a copy of this excellent series as our way of saying thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel in March. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and be sure to request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, overnight we had a couple of calls that came in, guys. Let's listen to one right now.
Hi, my name is Dale. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. I've been listening to you people for going on 7-8 years now. You turned me on to grace. Also, Andrew Farley, another one. I'm so thankful for your people and that I was led to hear the truth. The one question I have in my mind and bothers me forever is, what happens to people that aren't saved when they die? So I'm just wondering what you might know, what the Bible says about it. I just want to thank you again. You guys have just made my life so incredibly easy. Thanks a lot.
Wow.
God bless and stay safe.
Well, great encouragement from Dell, and thank you so much for picking up that phone and asking this particular question. And Andrew, you're obviously having a wonderful influence in his life as well. And connecting him to the love and grace of God. He asked a very interesting question. You know, believers want to know what happens to them when they die. And, you know, the Bible is pretty clear. We're absent from the body and present with the Lord. But what about those who reject Jesus Christ? What happens to them when they die?
Yeah, well, I mean, 2 Corinthians says that there are people that are perishing, and we're being saved, but others are perishing. They are in death. They're choosing death. They refuse to choose life. And so there's even an aroma of death to death, and I think we can even sense that in a time like this as we look around the planet. So there are people who are in Adam, spiritually dead, rejecters of the gospel. And, you know, 1 John says they're not from God. And so you say, well, what happens to people who are not children of God, who remain dead in Adam? Well, there's everything from descriptions such as utter blackness or utter darkness to flames of fire and punishment and separation from the Lord. I mean, it is not pretty. It is not my favorite topic by any stretch, but we have to recognize that there are so many passages about a place of punishment. You look at 2 Peter chapter 2, for example. It says that the unrighteous are kept under punishment for the day of judgment. If he didn't spare angels and cast them into hell, and he didn't spare the ancient world, then what do you think is going to happen to the unrighteous who reject the message of Jesus? So, guys, it's not fun to talk about, but definitely 2 Peter 2 talks about a black darkness. There's a destruction mentioned in Corinthians. God will destroy that person. You look at Hebrews, and they're called enemies of God. Let's be on the right side of history. That's the takeaway, right?
Yes,
so
indeed.
Let's be on the right side of this message and really respond to the gospel. Today's the day of salvation. Instead of analyzing all of the things that punishment might involve, we can be about the business of analyzing the cross and the resurrection and how it is a beautiful rescue for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Andrew. One other passage, Revelation chapter 20, talks about death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So you, I think you couple this with that passage in 1 Peter, and you kind of get an idea that it's definitely not a good thing. And thank God that Jesus came that we might have life, and that when we receive that life, we receive him. And there may be some folks out there right now who have that same question as Dale, and they're worried about their own situation. What's going to happen to them when they die? And, you know, our encouragement to you is simply what the Word of God has to say. Today, if you hear his voice, today, if you recognize that Jesus died for your sins, today, if you recognize that Jesus was raised from the dead so that you might have life, today, if you will open up that heart and receive him, then you can have full assurance that when you die, you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and that you can walk in that assurance and confidence today. And if you're in that situation, we just encourage you to just from your own where you are, just to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for being raised from the dead. And today I receive you as my Lord and as my very life. And I thank you that from this day forward, that I can live in the abundance of life by grace through faith in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And if that's the prayer of your heart, we encourage you to write to us. You can write to me, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net. We want to put some resources in your hands to really give you the full message of this gospel, and to give you some encouragement as you begin your new life in Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Bob, thanks for that. And again, open lines, 844-322-2742. We'd like to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Another call that came in overnight, let's listen to this one.
Hi, regarding Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14, says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Wondering if you could explain that to me. I know that you can't be a king and a priest at the same time, although Melchizedek and Jesus were the only two to actually fulfill that role. Thank you.
Great question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, before I address that question, I just thought of something that is quite coincidental here. I mean,
well, that's coincidental too.
that is coincidental. We're having some technical issues with Andrew's connection today. Andrew, are you back?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm here. I apologize. I don't know what's going on, but can you hear me okay?
Yes.
We can hear you. Good. Yeah. So go for it.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, we talk about coronavirus being a punishment from God, and we've debunked that, and then someone goes and asks about hell and a final punishment. And isn't it interesting that when wrath is finally poured out, it will not be stopped by a vaccine? In other words, when God is really going to bring punishment on unrighteousness, he will do it. He will do it clearly. He will do it swiftly, and it will be obvious. But this is not that. Jesus said that right now, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And I just think it's compelling that we're living in a time right now where we need to factor in the present offer of the cross and the resurrection. Yes, there's a day of judgment. We discussed that. Yes, there's a place of punishment. We discussed that. Those days are not today. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation, and that's our message. So, you know, regarding Hebrews, it's real simple. I mean, Jesus didn't have the right paperwork, according to the law, to serve as priest. If you were to ask for his passport, if you were to ask for his paperwork, then he would have shown paperwork that he was from the tribe of Judah. Now, all of the Old Testament priests were from the tribe of Levi, not Judah. So Jesus had the wrong paperwork to be a priest under the law. But God changed the covenant, and that's the whole point. When there's a change of priesthood, there has to be a change of covenant. When there's a change of priesthood, there has to be a change of law. And so this is one of the biggest arguments, guys, for why we need to hang on to the new covenant. We need to be calling Jesus our priest, and he's not a Levite. He's not a Levitical priest. He's not an old covenant priest. He is the new covenant priest. And because he's our priest, then we need to be running around shouting from the rooftops, "I am new covenant. I am a new covenant believer. I have better promises through Jesus, a better covenant, and a better high priest, and a better sacrifice." And so that's what Hebrews 7 is arguing for. Let's call Jesus our priest, and simultaneously, let's recognize that we're under a new covenant that came in at the cross.
Absolutely. So Jesus, as the Old Testament prophesied, was going to be our prophet, priest, and king. He's God's final word to man. He is the one that has interceded on our behalf as priest and his sacrifice, and he's the king of his kingdom. And yeah. all in one. That's our Jesus. That's the one that we get to walk with every single day. That's the one who lives inside of us, and talk about comfort to the heart. That is comfort to the heart.
Absolutely. Well, friends, speaking of comfort for the heart, with all the uncertainty that we face every day in the world, especially in light of the COVID-19 virus, well, how do you overcome your anxiety? How do you deal with those feelings that somehow something bad might happen over which you have no control whatsoever? Well, these are the issues that Bob Christopher addresses in his latest video. Take a look on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. How do you overcome anxiety? You'll find it at basicgospel.net/YouTube.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, Jeff, who is watching us on Facebook today, has this question. He says this: "I heard someone say recently that someone who does not have a desire to read the Bible should be concerned that he is not a Christian." So the question is, what do you think? So, Andrew, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, our desire to sit down and can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Our desire to sit down and read the Bible for 5 minutes or 50 minutes is going to ebb and flow. I mean, we are people, real people living on a planet with emotions that go up and down and all around. And whether we feel like reading the Bible for a time period or not is not an indication of whether we're a believer. In fact, I would say that all of the teaching out there that just pushes and pushes and pushes, you got to read, you better read, you got to have your quiet time, you got to log time in a book, you got to tell us how much time you spent this week doing this or that. We start feeling pressure, and it has a negative impact. We think that we're encouraging people to read the Bible, but when they get beat over the head with that sort of message, it actually, the law does its work. I mean, we're saying, thou shalt read, thou shalt have a quiet time, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. And, you know, under the law, sin thrives. And so it's going to have a negative effect. And I think we need to recognize the natural ebb and flow. Look, 2,000 years ago, 70 or 80% of the population was illiterate. They couldn't read the Bible. They gathered for social time. They had a public reading. One person would read it. Not everybody is wired for a quiet time. I don't know about you guys, but I love a loud time.
Very good. Very good. Well, if somebody has believed the good news of Jesus Christ, has responded to that message, the message concerning Christ, the fact that he died for their sins, was raised so that they could walk in the newness of life, the Bible says they're saved. And so we have to trust the Bible. We have to trust what the Bible has to say in that regard. And if they're saved, if Christ lives in them, God's going to take care of growing them in grace and growing them in the knowledge of him. That's part of his work in us.
Yeah.
So let's just relax and trust the Lord to do his work in and through us.
Well, friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, and overnight would be a great time to call with your questions. Again, the number is 844-322-2742. Also, keep in mind that we have that excellent five message series, The Jesus You Can Know, and we want you to have a copy of it. We want to send it to you as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel this month of March. So click donate at basicgospel.net and help us get the word out far and wide that Jesus is Lord, and we proclaim Him every day on Basic Gospel, and we hope you're here to hear that message. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us today, this is Bob Davis inviting you back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.